There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You're listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, a Texas Tech athletics podcast where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast. This is your host, Spencer, joined by Michael. Michael, what's up, man?
Man, I'm enjoying the Darion Chance connection here. Nice backdoor cut to an easy layup for Chance McMillan from Darion Williams. And then Tech allowed an easy bucket on the other end. How are you, sir?
Man, I am... Living the dream. Baseball's back. Basketball's here. Modern medicine, antibiotics working miracles.
Oh,
of course medicine. That goes in.
It's beautiful.
No, it's ugly. Well, I'm talking about the TCU making that.
I was talking about antibiotics.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, antibiotics are great. They're helping us through a round of strep throat in the family. So here we go. Yeah, man, we're good. Excited. Watched three baseball games this weekend. I wanted to watch the one today, but did not work out. I listened to a little bit of it. Gavin Cash, maybe breaking out of his slump. Granted, it came against not a great UTA team, but, 2 for 5 with a homer tonight. So, that's good news. Following his weekend of suck. I think he went, what?
It's a little harsh.
He went like 2 for 15 this weekend.
Opening weekend, bro.
9 strikeouts.
Let the man break in his cleats. Jeez.
Yeah. Well, I'm not saying he sucks. I'm just saying he had a crappy weekend.
Oh, okay.
That's all.
Okay.
How do you leave Kerwin Walton open? Wow.
Man, you got to know where that man is.
Splashes
so for those
three.
Of you who aren't sure where we are in the game and are listening later, as most are, Tech is currently down 52-48 against TCU. So this will be kind of our thing, basically, because Tech plays, I know they play again 8 o'clock next Tuesday against
Texas.
I don't know, some school in Austin. Yeah, they play Austin.
They play Austin?
On
Lindsay Tuesday. Left it short. Come on, dude.
That's my new thing. So they lost in Ames, and now they're taking on Fort Worth here in Lubbock.
Good defense. They just stole the ball from Fort
McMillan.
Worth.
McMillan! Ooh, McMillan.
Who's McMillan? Anyways, so we're watching the TCU basketball.
I didn't add a D there.
We can play the tape back. We're going to talk about opening weekend of baseball. Idiot. And then give you an instant reaction to this game whenever it goes final. Oh my gosh, Pop Isaacs hits a shot for the first time in like 2 weeks. Look at that.
He's having a rough go. He's having a rough go right now.
I was going to lump Joe Toussaint in there. He's put up like 40 points in the last few games. Like we can cool the heat there on Toussaint.
Absolutely.
Texas Tech with that pulls back within 52-50, 12-50 to go and a half in the game. And then we'll get to basketball previews. We've got Well, TCU tonight, they're going to be a review. UCF on Saturday and Austin. So yeah. Orlando and Austin this week and the following
week. Texas Tech versus the city of Orlando.
I think the biggest thing that we should talk about, Michael, is how very close I was to the baseball stuff. We'll talk about
that. I'm good with starting. We could start there.
Okay, we'll start there. This
weekend, if you would like.
You go 2-1 in the Shriners College Classic, whatever they're calling it, in Arlington. You're still there in Arlington. You played UT Arlington tonight, and then you'll play Oregon State tomorrow. You, like I said, you went 2-1 the first half ish or so against Tennessee. Was like, holy smokes, it's a pitcher's duel. Because that guy that Tennessee put out there was throwing gas. I forget his name. I have my book right here. I can tell you who it was. 2 seconds.
You kept your book?
2 seconds longer. Russell. They what miffed me. Tennessee used two pitchers on the night on Friday. Russell went four innings in a third, and then Causey threw 4 innings and 2/3. Both gave up 3 hits. Russell gave up 2 runs, and they're both earned. 1 walk, 10 strikeouts. Causey comes in for the second half of the game, basically. 3 hits, no runs, no walks, 7 strikeouts, which means your Red Raiders, my Red Raiders, struck out 17 times on opening day against two pitchers. You went full staff Friday night. You pitched 3, 6, 7 guys, not full staff, but Kyle Robinson got your day one start. And again, to start the game, Kyle Robinson versus A. Russell, whatever his first name was, it was electric, man, back and forth. Robinson went 3 2/3, gave up 4 hits, 3 runs, only 2 of them earned, and they came in the fourth inning. Texas Tech responded with the 2 they got off of Russell in the fifth before they bounced him. And then it went Bridges for 2/3, Rhodes made his debut for 2/3, Lysak came in against 2 batters, I believe. Let's see. Yeah, he only went 2 batters, but gave up a single and a double, then it was pulled. Sanders came in and kind of steadied the ship. He went 2 innings. Sanders went 2 innings, no hits, no runs, no walks, 3 Ks. Jacob Rogers, who I thought was a potential starter at some point, came in and gave you 2/3, 1 hit, 3 runs, and all earned. The dude came in and walked the bases loaded, essentially. He walked his first 2 batters, got a foul out, then walked the bases loaded. And then his fifth person he saw hits a sac fly, moves everybody up 1. 6th batter hits a single, and that's where you get your 3 runs. Anyways, he's pulled, and then Hudson Parker comes in and goes the final inning in a third. Gives up just 1 hit, no runs, 1 K. So game one, like, you faced some electric pitching from Tennessee. Your offense had stretches where it looked like you saw flashes like this could be a really fun offense, really electric. Kevin Bazell stole a base. Like, what? Your catcher stealing bases? Yeah, man.
We're stealing bases, period, in game one.
Bottom of the first, he gets the first hit of the game. He's batting third, gets a single, and then, like, on the first pitch, steals second. it fell apart there when Rogers walked the bases loaded and then had all those couple hits. That happened in the eighth. Otherwise, it's a 3-2 game. Wow, hairball. They're going to let them hear it at the United Supermarkets Arena. You would love to cut down the strikeouts, but, like, knowing the the value. The strength of the pitching you saw, like that was not a bad opening game. And it was fun until it wasn't, but like it was entertaining baseball. Like it was fun to be there. Sorry, I wasn't there. It was fun to watch.
The Flow Sports experience?
Okay, so I heard a lot of people complain about it. It wasn't terrible. I didn't like their rotation of whoever was in the booth, but like they weren't bad. The broadcast itself was clean. There weren't like I didn't have any huge complaints or issues with it. Score bug seemed fine. It seemed like it was a pitch behind for a while, like the pitch count was off. But that may have been just early on because I feel like it got cleaned up a little bit. I mean, no, I don't enjoy spending $30 to watch it, but the illegal stream link didn't come through until after it already purchased this. So I wasn't hooked up with the stream link, but.
No free ads. No free ads with the illegal streamers.
Yeah, I'm not gonna tell you who it was or where they got it from. But
it's a guy with a cell phone in front of his Flow Sports.
Anyways, I was not
Flow Sports account.
I was enjoying the Discord Fire Gardner. what is the tongue in cheek?
Like,
no. It was in game one. It was overplayed to a point. Like it was like, okay, it's game one of a 55 game season. It's not the end of the world. There were some people like, this is the same stuff that was happening last year. Just a sign of things to come. I was like, well, time will tell.
Maybe,
but
maybe not.
Game one against a top 10 team. It's fine. Let's talk about the starting lineup though. Okay. Pre-game, I didn't know how the infield would shake out, especially up the middle. I thought Tracer Lopez was going to get over at short. And I thought you had a possibility there between, at short, I thought it was going to be Tracer Lopez or, Travis Sanders, Will Burns, TJ Pompey. What ended up happening was Tracer played short. Sorry, Tracer played second. He started all three games at second. Pompey played all three games at short. And Pompey, wow. Like super impressive start to his Red Raider career. I don't have numbers like queued up and tallied. His first hit as a Red Raider came in the fifth inning against Tennessee. It was a two-run triple. So he struck out his first AB, then hits a two-run triple and strikes out. So he goes 1-for-3 against Tennessee, then gets the start again day two and goes 2-for-4 with a double and a single on Saturday versus Nebraska. And just super impressive start. I was going to just say that. So up the middle, second base, Tracer Lopez, he was your leadoff man all weekend. Gavin Cash, not a surprise, held down first base all weekend. Kevin Bazell, catcher all weekend. Cade McGee, third base. We expected with how everything, like how he was recruited in his career at Gonzaga. Impressive all the way around. Like he had good professional at bats, had played really well defensively. And you'd expect that as an upperclassman, but like he came in and immediately like proved his significance, his impact. So your infield, right to left, Gavin Cash, Tracer Lopez, TJ Pompey, Cade McGee, and then Kevin Bazell behind the dish. Outfield, I was a little bit more unsure because we'd heard that Austin Green was going to get moved out to the outfield. He did play in the outfield. I said left field. Damian Bravo got all three games in left and made a name for himself, especially defensively. Was really good out there patrolling left field. Gage Harrelson got your start in center, although you did see Will Burns get the start at center. Was it against Nebraska or Oregon? It was against Nebraska, but Harrelson did come in. He may have come back against Oregon. And then in right field was Austin Green. And he made some really good defensive plays out there in a, at least new to us, position for him. So outfield left to right was Damian Bravo, Gage Harrelson, and then Will Burns. And then out and right, Austin Green. Austin Green, Owen Washburn kind of flip-flopped also DHing. You got Woodcox at DH. Green came in to pinch hit for Woodcox against Nebraska as the DH. Washburn was your opening day DH. So I think offensively, you've got opportunity for some power. When Lopez came in, when was it? It was against Nebraska. No. Shoot. I can't remember when it was. It was it may have been against Nebraska. Yeah. He came with the bases loaded and very nearly hit a grand slam. It like was just a couple of feet short. That was super impressive to see his power at a low altitude professional ballpark, one that plays big, like we know that Globe Life does. And then he came back and then hit a home run on Sunday against Oregon, which was cool to see. Gavin Cash did have some offensive struggles. Maybe just getting used to just this new season. And maybe he's just the approach is a little bit different, or maybe he's being pitched to differently. It's, you know, early enough that I don't know yet. On the mound, like I said, you had Kyle Robinson go game one. Zane Petty went game two, but he only went two innings. And then he got backed up by Mac Hoyer, who I thought was a potential starter, and he may still be a starter. But because Petty was pulled so quickly, Hoyer may also be like in the starting rotation at some point. But on Saturday it was Petty. He went two innings, one hit, two runs, four walks and a K. Hoyer came in, went three and a third, five hits, one run, one earned, no walks, two Ks. Ryan Free came in, who I thought was potential as a closer. He went two and two thirds, two hits, no runs, no walks, three Ks. And then Huttera came in and finished that one out. One full inning, two hits, one K. Sunday was the game that I was a little bit more nervous about, the way it started versus the way it ended. You put up six runs in the second, and you're like, man, we're just going to blow this thing open. We're just going to enjoy an offensive day. But what ended up happening, second inning starts off with a McGee walk. Owen Washburn singles. Then they both advance. McGee and Washburn on a wild pitch. Bravo doubles. Harrelson walks. Pompey singles. Lopez here is the one where he almost hits the grand slam. They change pitchers. Austin Green hits a home run, a three run shot. Bazell singles. Cash pops up. McGee walks, and then Washburn strikes out. McGee walked twice in an inning, which is just impressive on its own to not only bat twice, but to walk twice in the same inning. So you get six runs.
In the second inning?
Yeah, in the second inning against Oregon on Sunday.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, makes sense.
Oregon responds with four runs in the top of the fifth. So it was 6-0 for the third and fourth innings. Top of the fifth rolls around. Oregon bites here for four. And this is while, let's see, who was pitching? Was it, hold on, I don't have it written in my book, so I have to like flip back and forth on the page here. Jack Washburn. Yeah. He also had a fantastic start to his Red Raider career. Went four innings, had some really great stuff, at least through the first time through the lineup. Ended up giving up six hits, three runs. They were all earned, one walk and six strikeouts. TCU and Texas Tech just traded threes. That was nice. But it came apart there in the fifth for Washburn before he got pulled. And he faced three batters in the fifth where he gave up two. And ultimately, the third run that scored that was attributed to him is what closed the book, and they went on to score one more when Sanders came in to pitch for Bridges. So you saw Bridges and Sanders twice on the weekend. Once Oregon scored four in the fifth, it was a little back and forth. Texas Tech answered with one in the fifth. Oregon puts up two in the sixth. So it's a 6-7 or 7-6 game. Then you put up your own two in the sixth. They put up one in the seventh. You put up one in the seventh. And then you hold them scoreless the rest of the game where you put up one in the eighth. You go up 11-7 there. I think the most exciting thing was when Max Huffling came in, or at least from pitching wise on Sunday, besides the great start you got from Washburn, was what you saw from Huffling. And of course you got the great quote from Tadlock after the game, which I don't know if you saw. I'm sure you've all seen it.
I did. Yeah.
But Don Williams asked, like, hey, what was your staff's reaction when y'all saw that Huffling hit the portal? Call him? Which is just fantastic deadpan humor from him. And obviously, you got him on campus. But Huffling goes the final three on Sunday. Does not get the win. He gets a save. Gives up six hits. But struck out seven, and they were like, he's a ballsy pitcher. Like, he's at least, and this outing was super emotional and just wore it on his sleeve. You could tell how fired up he was every single time he got somebody out. Like I said, goes three innings, six hits, one run. It was earned, but seven strikeouts, no walks. That was just, It was a lot of fun to watch him pitch. I'm excited he's on our team. So you end the weekend 2-1. You ended up scoring, what is that, 19 runs over the weekend, and then you put up 13 more today. So you got a little offense going. Today you had Trumbello start for you on the mound. And he went, let's see, hold on real quick. We were the visitor tonight. Trumbello went four full innings, four hits, no runs, four Ks, no walks. You got your first look at Trenton Parrish. He went a full inning but gave up three hits and a run. Hudson Parker came back. He pitched on Friday. He went up, he went an inning. Luce went an inning. Coe went an inning. And Case went an inning. Parker, Luce, Coe, and Case all combined for no hits, no runs, and four more strikeouts. So you got one walk to eight strikeouts on the night from your pitching staff. Besides Parrish, who gave up the one run, you posted a 0.94 ERA for the game. Offensively, Tracer Lopez again started you off. Went 0-2 officially, but three walks and a strikeout tonight. Travis Sanders came in and played some at second base in place of Lopez after he got lifted for a pinch hit. Austin Green was out in right field. Drew Woodcox came into right field. Bazell and Rivers both caught some behind the dish. It was good to see Rivers get some time. He got one official at bat, but it went 0-for-1. Bazell went 2-for-5 with two runs. Cash went 2-for-5 with two RBIs and a home run and a walk. McGee 1-for-5. Washburn 2-for-4. Stripling got a pinch hit appearance. I went 1-for-1. Damian Bravo 1-for-4. Pompey 1-for-4. Harrelson 1-for-3. So not the greatest. Not the greatest offensive output, like in terms of average. But when you put up, what did I say, 26 runs, 24. What did I say? It was 19 over the first.
It was 19.
Plus the 13.
Yeah.
That's 32. 32 runs in four games. You're averaging 8 runs a game. Man, you'll take that kind of production. Like I said, you got Oregon State next. Another top 10 matchup. Probably not facing their top of the line pitching, being a midweek in their, you know, they're at where they're at in their schedule. But I'm excited about baseball season being back, man. I was encouraged by the way this team came out and battled against some good pitching, despite having the 17 strikeouts. You did bounce back, I gotta say. So we got a comment: getting smoke in the USA. Are you a TCU fan saying that we're getting beat up? I mean, we're down 10, not smoked, not great.
Maybe there's fire. Maybe where there's smoke, there's fire. And Texas Tech is about to go on a run. I don't know. I'm trying to be positive. But yeah, it's not looking great here. Of course, and then we get an and one
from Kyron
Lindsey with a strong mm-hmm. move at the bucket. A chance to make a three-point play the old-fashioned way. Kerwin Walton just hit one off the side of the backboard from the sideline. So
he's not great, Bob.
That wasn't great. But it wasn't his range. I think he was a little too close. He needed to be behind the arc.
Yeah.
And it probably would have been a splash. That's all.
So tomorrow's game against Oregon State, noon, first pitch. They're in Arlington. And then
do these guys have timeshares in Arlington or what? They've been there since Thursday?
Your first home game will
Friday?
Be Friday afternoon versus Texas Southern, a whole weekend series against Texas Southern. I forget their mascot.
I know. I could tell you were reaching for it, but I couldn't help you.
Who are they?
I'm going to say the Bobcats. Nope, that's Texas State. Man, I don't remember. But yeah, like you said, they play them Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then they're off for a full week, if I read the schedule correctly.
The Tigers.
The Tigers.
The Tigre.
So they're off until the 1st of March.
Pop Isaac's layup there. Hit every inch of the rim there before it finally fell in. Down by 6, 5:30 to go.
Hey, that's his third shot of the night to go down, so I'll take it.
Yeah. Oh, no, cheap foul.
That is a terrible foul. And I think he's got, yeah, that's his fourth. That's the fourth foul on Williams.
That look.
We're all Grant McCaslin in that moment. Oh, man, he was rolling his eyes. That was a great camera work there.
Yeah, fantastic. All right.
Yeah, this one's, it's not over, but yeah, down 69-63. With 5:33 left. Let's go Red Raiders. Okay. Where are we heading next?
Well, I was going to say, and not that far removed or not that far away from getting started with Big 12 conference play. You get the Longhorns March 8th.
Yeah.
That
and
weekend
you get to series. Host them, yeah. Which is great for probably the last series until our children are our age or something.
Or ever. Oh, who knows?
Yeah, or ever.
Let's swing around to football real quick. There was some football news. I'm sure you all saw.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
The college football playoff committee came out. Kyron Lindsay, good gravy, dude. That was fantastic.
I know, right? Let's see. Where's he at? Kyron Lindsay.
8 points, got 4 rebounds.
8 points, 4 of 8 shooting. Nice. Okay.
Playoff, 12-team playoff came out, announced with the formally announced the 5+7 format. So you'll get the highest ranked group of five. Sorry, not group of five. Highest ranked Power Five conference champions plus the next 7 highest ranked at large teams. So what this means is you're going to get 8 SEC schools. No, you'll get 6 SEC schools.
My math
schools.
Is right. 7+1 is 8.
No, it's going to split a little bit more equitably between the SEC and Big Ten. You'll get 6 SEC and 3 Big Ten.
Yeah,
and maybe then 1 4
begrudging.
On a good year for the Big Ten.
1 Big 12 team that they don't want to be there, and 1 ACC team if the ACC still exists.
Well, the holdup in getting this announced was the Pac-12, because they technically still have an automatic tie-in here as a conference champion. So
who's it going to be? Washington State or Oregon State?
Yeah, I think the Big 12 champion is going to have less eyes rolled about making it into the playoff than the Pac-12 champion. Fewer eyes rolled.
That's true. I'll take it.
It does open
up. Really excited to see Arizona make the playoff next year.
No, because they're going to be in the Big 12 next year. And they're going to be having to do it with a new...
I said what I said.
You think they're going to win the Big 12 in year one with a new head coach?
New coach. Yeah. They got the mojo, man. They're good.
The new coach bump?
Just going to make it look easy.
Jed Fish was pretty good. It's not like they were...
Oh yeah. Oh.
Oh, I don't know how they got that.
So Tech was down by 10 not that long ago, and now Tech's down by 4. Basketball. I sound like John Rothstein or whatever.
Oh, lights just went out.
I just say something obvious and then I say basketball.
Did like the lights actually go out? Like what's, or is this like something they do?
This doesn't seem intentional. This does not seem intentional. They don't have shows like this, light shows like this at the USA.
Everybody pulling their phones.
Yeah. I doubt this is supposed to be happening.
3:50. So the under 4 timeout, like the lights just went completely black. And they came back on low level.
Call it.
The back call off. It. Then back. No, don't call it. We're down. Still down by 4. Gosh. Okay. So you do get the possibility of a group of 5 team sneaking in here, much more so than in previous years. You could get 2 Big 12 teams. But what's likely going to happen is you're going to get the 5 champions and the rest are going to be filled out from the SEC and the Big Ten. So, but there's that. And the other thing I want to talk about.
Have you seen like a model or something showing what it would have been this year?
No, but that's probably not that hard to look up. Let's see.
I know. I was trying to.
College football.
Okay. Fox Sports has one that says, here's what it would look like. So 1 Michigan, 2 Washington, 3 Texas, 4 Alabama, 5 Florida State. So pretty darn close there. And then 6 Georgia. Georgia would play number 11 Ole Miss. Florida State would play number 12 Liberty. Number 7 Ohio State would have hosted or played number 10 Penn State. Yeah, they would have hosted.
And then number 8, Oregon, would have played number 9, Mizzou. I would have watched that. That's some compelling football. And I think Liberty and Florida State would have been probably a pretty good game. And then whoever won that one would have gotten crushed. But oh well.
I don't know about...
That's the playoffs, baby.
Liberty and Florida State. Because I think Florida State, one, they dropped a lot because of injuries. But I think out of anybody of like recent memory, if you've ever heard of a team that did not want to be there, like they were all set up and hoping to get into the playoffs and missed it. And then it felt like they just mailed it in, like could not care. Granted, they also ran up against Georgia, who was like, y'all want to leave out of the playoff? Let's show you why you shouldn't have done that.
They had the opposite reaction to being left out of the playoff, the complete polar opposite.
But I think Georgia in their past two bowl games put up like 120 points, which yeah, is just insane. Ridiculous. Because one of those was a national title game. And the other was a consolation. You didn't make the playoffs, but here's a New Year's Six bowl against a team that should have made the playoffs, maybe, if they were healthy. So there's that. And then Josh Cochran on the Texas Tech staff promoted to run game coordinator. Up from,
which is a new position.
It is.
Okay.
He was tight ends coach, correct? No. What was he?
Yes. I'm fairly certain he was tight ends. So
is he still tight
ends? Is no one coaching the tight ends now? I thought he was doing both.
Yeah. He could still be tight end coach and run game coordinator. Kyron Lindsay trying to get that double double by like putting in work, man. I think he just picked up Joe T.
Oh, Joe.
Yeah, he's got 7 rebounds. We picked up 3 rebounds in the last couple minutes. Oh, I thought that was him again. Oh,
yeah. McMillan grabbed another one, though. See, I don't add a D to the end of McMillan.
I'm pretty sure you did that one time. Oh.
No.
Well, that was...
Okay. There's no way.
He was hunting that foul. That's okay.
If I did, it was intentional because he was playing good defense.
McMillan. Anywho's. So... I don't know what this means to the offensive staff besides you created a position and then filled it internally.
Pay raise, pay bump.
Yeah. And it may have been
position bump.
We're going to do what we can to keep Cochran on staff and to, recognize and, Whatever. They're trying to do well by him. I don't know why I'm blanking on my words tonight. This is a great thing for a podcast.
Well, it does say in the official tweet, Josh Cochran has been promoted to run game coordinator. And then in the graphic, it says tight ends / run game coordinator. So he's still a tight ends coach. But also... determining where Taj Brooks will go. It's good.
Yeah. So anywho's, Joe T misses, somehow rebounds that in amongst the trees and then still gets another shot up, but gets fouled. So he's going to the line.
I wanted to share something else. The radio guys today, the local radio guys, Jamie asks a question every day. And the question today was which 3 guys could end up on all Big 12 first team from football team when the season's over. And the general consensus was pretty much Ben Roberts and Taj Brooks. And then everybody was kind of stumbling around for a third guy and sort of throwing out maybe Gino Garcia or something. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think Chuck mentioned Tharp and I about flew out of my shoes just thinking, well, that would be great. That would be insane if we got our tight end the ball enough to get first team all Big 12, because I think he's good enough.
It's tied, baby. What a drive in a dish by Isaacs. Holy crap. He drove, so that is, brought in three defenders, then dished it to a trailing McMillan. No. D5. Who then
Isaacs just, has four assists on the night. Toussaint with five. Yeah. So you're two.
He had three defenders, gets the ball out of that, and then D5 just slams it home, although he may have traveled.
He picked up his dribble at the three-point line and
took about a dozen steps
in the, yeah, in the protective circle. It's fine. So Texas Tech, as you said, tied after a 12-2 run in the last 4:15.
Yeah, I'm not sure if Joseph Duncan is still hanging around, but anywho's, that's where we're at in basketball. Looking back, I guess, you want to talk about Saturday's game against Iowa State?
I don't have a whole lot to say about it. We were traveling last week. I did kind of get the... I got the gist of what happened. I think, Warren Washington being out was...
That's something we have talked about tonight. He's out tonight too.
Yeah, he's out tonight as well. Obviously a big blow. And so Tech's already challenged on size no matter what. I listened to Locked On Texas Tech today to kind of get a grasp of how the game went. And Level mentioned that Tech was outscored 28-0. Mm-hmm.
And points up on turnovers.
Points off turnovers. Iowa State defense lived up to the hype. Playing at the Hilton, despite it being at 11 a.m., lived up to the hype. But the good news is that Texas Tech is favored, including tonight. Who knows how that will actually work out, but not favored. But according to Haslam, they're predicted to win their next three. So we're about to go on a win streak, baby. But Iowa State, it seems like Toussaint's kind of, and tonight he's continued it. He's pulled out of his funk a little bit offensively, a little bit, more than a little bit. Isaacs is still struggling some, but still finding ways to make plays, as we pointed out with his assists. But yeah, with the actual game, apologies to our devoted listeners. I was unable to actually sit down and watch it this weekend.
So here's, call me a, oh, that was a good find. Joe T and Pop Isaacs trying so hard to see who's going to get the most assists tonight.
Oh man. Yeah.
Fair weather fan here. I expected a rough game, and early in the first half, you were going down and it looked like you were going to go down in flames. It looked horrendous. And I was like, I don't have to do this. I don't have to do this to myself. I turned it off. So we were down like 15 and playing like absolute hammered dog duty. It was just ugly. I was like, I don't have to watch this. I don't. I expect we're going to lose. And if we come back and win, sucks to be me that I missed it, but I'll be in a much better mood because I just haven't forced myself to sit through this. So I did miss the second half run where you pulled it back and got it, you know, back within eight to lose the game.
Outscored them 50-44, 50 points and a half.
And one, baby.
Ah, Pop. My guy, always. I've always said this.
Never doubted the man.
Never doubted his offensive ability in crunch time.
Dude, who's number three? He just like shoulder checked him. Oh, they're saying it was on the floor? Yeah. That's horse manure.
No.
He rolled.
We're in the bonus though.
Yeah, and it's Pop shooting free throw, so like you like that. But
it's 1-1. It's practically a 2-2.
Six of seven on the night. So anywho's. I missed it. I wanted to tune in to last night's game, Iowa State at Houston. Houston ends up pulling that one out 73-65. And what of many said, this is like a preview for a Big 12 title game.
I thought that score, I'm surprised that score got out of the 50s.
Yeah, maybe. The way they
so this is a little higher scoring than I thought it would be.
With all the turnovers, both of those
teams. I think Shed with Houston, all Houston fans can thank Texas Tech because we threw the first official Shed is the man party when we went to Houston. And so I think that party is still going. So you're welcome, Cougar fans.
We ignited that. Isaacs hits them both, 75-73, minute 27 to go. Where's our man Joe Duncan? Where you at, dude? Getting smoked in the USA. Down Joey 10. Now we're up two.
Joey D.
So you mentioned Haslametrics has this team projected favorites the rest of the way out. I don't think you're going to win every game. But you got tonight, obviously, home versus TCU. A great chance to get this one back from when you lost in Fort Worth. Haslam coming into the game had you win this one 75-72.5. So like a 2.5, 3-point win. On track, you're up 73-72 now. 75-73. He has you at 75-72.5. On pace to eclipse that, but you've got the margin there. Then Saturday at Orlando, at the Fighting Orlandos, 3 p.m. ESPN Plus, also a close game, but you're on the road. Projected win 70-68. You saw what kind of team and how feisty and scrappy UCF is, like I guess we call them. You get them at home for them. So that'll be tough. Are you highlighting the actual score? Sorry.
No, I put the wrong one in that area, but the one you said was right.
Okay. Yeah. And then, return home next Tuesday night, 8 PM. So we'll get another version of this style of podcast for you. Home versus the Longhorns, 8 p.m. ESPN. Again, projected 74-70 victory for your Red Raiders. Micah Peavy misses a free throw. You hate to see it. UCF is a 65th Haslametric ranked team. Texas Tech 27. Texas is 32. So you've seen both these opponents before. You know what it was going to take to win. That's all I got for you in terms of previews because we got I misses them both. Oh, and TCU gets the rebound and the putback.
Man.
Golly.
Gosh, that hurts. How are we doing on rebounds tonight? Let's see. Yeah, TCU is ice cold. They're 2 of the last 12, and that was...
Do you hate to see that in the last...
One of the two.
We don't need Joe. Yep. I hate that.
TCU's out rebounding Tech by 12.
And one.
Was that Pop?
Yes. It does look like some of the lights are still out in the arena. I've said it before, and I'm not the only one. Like, it's... When it works, it's great. But I hate Joe Toussaint driving super hard and then, like, putting on the skid brakes and then, like, spinning around trying to find someone to throw it to.
But it worked right then.
It did. And you're up 3. Hells yeah. 39 seconds to go. 78-75. Let's play some defense. Block out. Oh, off his foot. Oh, he got the ball back.
Each team has a timeout. Oh, they're going to call that foul.
Lindsay.
It's Peavy, though.
That's okay. You're up 3. Fouling up 3 is a thing to do, Michael.
It's hurtful.
It's still will always be too soon. I'm sorry that I even mentioned that. Yeah, so you got PB at the line, shooting two. He's 2 for 5 from the line tonight. 59% from the season makes the first. So, nail biter. Taking Lindsay out, putting
Kern Walton's coming
Walton
in.
Yeah. They're gonna
get some shooters in.
Drawing something up to get some shots in, man. Or a decoy out on the wing to open up a drive, maybe. Mayhaps.
Could see that.
Of course, PB hits them both. Tech timeout.
No, no timeout.
Oh my gosh, how did they? Oh,
they didn't.
Shoot. We just broke it and they gave Isaacs the timeout. That's all right. That's all right. Better to set something up than to be like running and gassing there. Yeah, they like doubled.
How many times did they foul Toussaint? Well, actually, that first trap's pretty clean.
Then they triple him.
It's actually pretty clean. He's just really, he's just all over the place. Okay. I don't think they fouled him at all.
Yeah. Okay.
Some good defense.
Tech with the ball up 78-77, 23 seconds to go. Coming out of a timeout. Let's see what Gas draws up here. Because this is, I mean, we applauded the man early in the season for how he used timeouts. Granted, he didn't call this timeout, but you've got the time. What has he put together here?
Well, it's since, I think I retweeted it a while back. Someone, I'm going to try to find it, ran the metrics, and Texas Tech is one of the most productive teams out of timeouts in the country.
Well, there you go.
And that is just not something I thought we'd ever really see. But I'm going to go try to find it. Let's see.
So D5 inbounding the ball right in front of the TCU bench. Is that 5 guards on the floor?
Yes. I can't see who's. Yes, it is.
Oh, and they fouled Toussaint.
You got Darian Williams, who's kind of the good, and they didn't mean to.
Oh, gosh, there's a microphone there, Spencer.
Okay, so the tweet I was referring to was from our guy, Austin Massey, over at 24/7. He sent this on the 13th. He said, Texas Tech's performance after timeouts ranks them as the top team in Power 5 basketball per Synergy Sports data. The Red Raiders are posting an average of 1.068 points per possession and boast a 59.6% effective field goal percentage in these scenarios. Well, so out of timeouts, Texas Tech is basically making whatever shot they take 60% of the time.
Toussaint hits the front end of a 1-1. Let's go. And Gas on the sideline. No foul.
Two.
No foul.
TCU with 1 timeout remaining. Texas Tech used their last one. What are we talking about here? What's going on?
Sorry. The stat broadcast is ahead of the live broadcast. So I'm watching that. I was like,
oh no.
All right, Toussaint hits the second. Nearly throws it out of bounds on the inbound. That was.
Yeah.
Oh, and they doubled and then miss on the defense. Oh,
just an easy layup down below. Could have had a cardboard cutout of somebody in the lane, and that would have deterred him a little bit more.
Yeah, Jacoby Coles makes a layup down, or Texas Tech up 80-79. Yeah. And then TCU calls a timeout. And they throw in Anderson and O'Bannon, take out Coles and Tennyson.
High pick and roll. I'll get you every time if you don't have anybody on the switch.
Oh, because D5 didn't switch. He and Toussaint both stayed with guard at the top of the key.
Downside of a 5-guard setup there. Well, I don't know. I don't know if Lindsey was in or not. I wasn't looking. No, he wasn't.
No, it was D5 was the biggest. I mean, there are teams that successfully run small ball. It's okay. It happens. You can do it.
Can you do it in college, though? As effectively? I just feel like you've got to have some really, really good shooters to do it.
It also feels like the bigs that you see in college are a little bit more athletic, and they're able to move a little more quicker than the bigs you see in like NBA. Like you get a big guy in NBA, they're like usually slow. They're lumbering dudes. They're big and they'll impose their will, but it's like Shaq running around, right? Whereas you get guys like Warren Washington that are 9 feet long. I would say that Wimby with the Spurs is going to be the exception there. Because he can cover
you've got
the entire paint.
Kevin Durant.
Standing in the logo.
Yeah, he can. It's beautiful.
Wow.
Best 12-win team I've ever watched.
PB just tackled Isaacs into the courtside seats.
Yeah, I was about to say the cheap seats, but that definitely...
Those aren't cheap seats.
Those aren't the cheap seats.
So 12.7
to
go.
Have you ever sat courtside at anything like that? I don't know if I'd enjoy it.
No, I think it'd be too close.
I'd be nerve-wracked the whole time. Like I can't have popcorn. I can't have anything.
You got to have your head in a swivel the whole time. Like, is there a ball coming? Is there a body coming?
Yeah, is there a 6'9", 250-pounder heading my way? Some athlete that's more athletic than anyone I've ever played against in my life.
Running full speed at you.
And there's like, there's 30 of them out here and any one of them could just be throwing the flying burrito at me. Okay. Isaac's made the first one. Tech's now up to 81-79. Second free throw is good. So Isaac's on the day. 19 points, 11 of 12 from the line so far.
6, 5, 4. Oh, he shoots a three. Oh, he leaves it short. Oh, made rebound.
We airballed it.
1.4.
Okay, just get it in.
Oh, they didn't call the foul.
Oh, and they didn't even foul him in time.
Ball game.
Oh, Dixon is hot. He thinks that Isaac traveled. Isaac traveled.
Trapped Isaacs there with a double. May have tried to get him to walk there, but didn't get the foul, didn't get the walk. Only had a second and a half to go. Just weren't quick enough to get the whistle. Texas Tech wins this one 82-81. He was like they were holding him from the beginning.
Oh, he traveled. He definitely traveled. His left foot came off the ground and his right foot was never down. I don't think. I'd be a little upset too.
The ref was standing there. What was he looking? I mean,
I don't know, man.
Okay. Here's the thing. Okay. So, okay.
You see what I see though, right?
I saw his heel was up. I didn't know if the whole foot came up.
I swear the whole, like, cause they pushed him. Or he lost his balance, and so he had to kind of bring his whole left foot off the ground or fall out of bounds. Oh, man, they switched so fast to that. Okay, I'm gonna rewind.
Well, it's because the game they were trying to show is almost halfway through the first half.
Watching San Francisco versus St. Mary's.
Anywho's.
That's what I was dying to watch. Let's see here. Okay. So he catches it. His left foot is firmly down. I can't see if his right foot is up, and then his left foot bumps up again. Oh, yeah. He walked. Oh, well, game over.
Okay, but okay. Raiders. When he walked, how much time was left? Could you see?
Great point.
Because he could have traveled.
I couldn't see at that angle. I sure couldn't.
After time expired, or like they had 0.2 left. Okay, so you let TCU inbound the ball at that spot, 0.2 left. Like they'd have to catch and shoot immediately. Chances are that
they wouldn't be in that predicament if they could play any sort of interior defense or get a rebound. Well,
it's okay. Ugh. Game ended. Texas Tech wins 82-81. You move now to what are you now? 19-7, 8-5 in the Big 12. You're one win away from at the very least securing a 500 record in Big 12 play. And first-year coach Grant McCaslin, when he was piecing this roster together, man, like we weren't sure what you were going to get. You're missing Devin Cambridge, arguably your best player, or may have been one of your top performers this season. Warren Washington's missed now three games, one with a sickness, an illness, two with an injury. I don't know when he may be coming back, but his team can play small. They are getting a lot of productive minutes from Jennings and Lindsay. And Warren's spot. Let's see. Pop Isaacs had 19. You had five guys in double figures. Isaac with 19. D5 had 14. Joe T had 14. Kerwin Walton had 14. McMillan had 9. Lindsay had 8. Washington, Lamar Washington, and Robert Jennings each had 2. Not a great shooting night. You shot 39% from the floor, and 27% from three. You're only 6 of 22, but you were 24 of 28 from the free throw line, including 15 of 16 in the second half. And you had
that's
9.
That's pretty clutch to win a game by one. And make 15 of 16 free throws in the second half.
You got cooked on the glass, though. 49-36.
Yes, and we saw a couple of those at the end almost bite you. Good hard-fought win, especially down 10 fairly late in the game, I think with 4 or 5 minutes left, to go on that 12-2 run and to just hold TCU scoreless, I think. I mentioned they were 2 of 12 at one point on their shooting there towards the end of the game.
PB finishes with 10. They had 6 players in double figures. Good gravy. PB had 10. Emmanuel Miller had 15. Jameer Nelson had 14. Anderson the third had 15. Jacoby Coles had 10. Issa Mustafa had 10. The other three guys that played, Tennyson, Cork, and O'Bannon, had 2, 2, and 3.
Yeah, their bench points were incredible. Three of those guys you mentioned came off the bench. They had 38 total points off the bench to Texas Tech's 19.
Yeah.
A lot of stats and a lot of things in their favor, including lead time. You know, TCU led for 25 minutes. But not in the last 1.4 seconds. That's all that counts. So they're kicking themselves right now and definitely thinking that Pop Isaacs traveled. And if he did, I'm guessing, Spencer, there was 0.4, 0.5 seconds left. Something like that. So definitely enough time to get an actual shot off from a half court set.
Yeah. Got a comment that says the volume is a bit low. I can see with that the board output looks low, so you may have to catch the recording of this, Nathan. But I'm not sure how to change that on the fly. I'm not even sure what would be causing it to be turned down so much. I don't want to delay. Where would that be? Riverside, maybe? I don't know. I don't know why it's so
I'll turn
low.
Mine up all the way. It won't help.
That's... I'll have to look into that.
So maybe Spencer, are we on the cusp of a 3-0 streak?
It would be nice.
Can we say that? Can we predict that here?
You went 2-1 this week. You got back into the in the top 25 after just absolutely drilling Kansas last Tuesday night. Sorry, Monday night. And then maybe you got a little bit of benefit of the doubt or the close loss on the road to Iowa State helped that a little bit.
The toughest basketball conference in the country. Let's just keep reciting that over and over. Let's live that.
I mean, it's true.
It is. Absolutely, it is. And the more you say it, the truer it is.
Yeah. So, I got nothing else.
Yeah, I feel like.
I mean, we just got him hot like over 30 the last minutes, so we were just waiting for it to go.
It was very instant.
Yeah. Let's wrap this thing up with what do we learn? What do you say?
Okay, I'm ready.
What do we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either.
All right. What do we learn, Michael?
I took the family to the Metroplex this weekend. We got to do Dallas? A lot of cool things. Yeah, I went to Dallas. I was telling my mother-in-law came with us, and she is from Florida. And I was just telling her how much I enjoy messing with Metroplex people about where I actually went in Dallas. And so anyway, we were in Fort Worth for a little bit, but we were actually in Dallas for the majority of the time. We were in the city of Dallas. So I don't want people from Richardson getting upset that we didn't shout out the Papados in Richardson. That's not where we were. We didn't go to Grand Prairie. We drove through it. Anyway, we went to Medieval Times, my man.
Oh yeah.
I have a 7-year-old girl who I take with me to men's basketball games, Lady Raiders basketball games. We haven't done a football game yet because I just don't think that the attention span is there. And every time we go to a basketball game, at some point she starts asking when it's time to leave. Usually if you make it to the third quarter, that's pretty lucky. That's pretty good. Or the second half, you know, whichever one you're watching. But not at Medieval Times. Never once. It's
keyed in the whole time.
She was locked in. Like if I could get her to be half as interested in any Texas Tech sport, even soccer. She loves watching soccer. And I've talked about this on the podcast. We'll go to a Texas Tech soccer game. And our deal is like she'll sit with me and watch the game and pay attention and enjoy it the entire first half. And then the second half, she's like, okay, now it's time for me to go play, right? I'm like, okay, sure. So then she'll go find some kids and they'll run around and play the whole second half. Anyway, Medieval Times, you get in there. Have you been, by the way?
I have never been.
It's totally exactly what you would expect. And then you go in and you are assigned a section, and each section has its own color. And then each color is associated with its own night. So you are automatically given a night to root for. And I underestimated how easy that would be for me to all of a sudden think that the black and white night is the best, most noble knight. He fights. He's a real lunch pail guy. He watches film. He's, you know, first one in, last one out. Just a real night of a night. And so I underestimated how little it would take for me to just be on board with, oh, okay, I don't like the blue knight then. Easy, done. I don't like the red knight. Well, I can like the red knight. That was what was interesting too. So there's eight teams, or there's eight knights, mm-hmm. and the way they have the arena set up is, you know, four colors sit on one side and four colors sit on the other. And they tell you when you sit down, like, you can root for the four colors on this side. And so I was like, oh, okay, so we're the Big 12. And then those four colors over there are the SEC. So fine, I'll boo them every chance I get. And then even if the red knight or the yellow and red knight or no, who could I root for? Red, black and white, and yellow. Dang, who was the other one? Oh, maybe there's just six. Anyway, I think there's just six. You eat with your hands. There's no silverware. They give you some soup and bowls that you just slurp out of the bowls. They give you a half chicken, which was pretty darn good. It was a rotisserie kind of chicken. You just go to town, give you like a half potato and some corn, and just check out the show the whole time. The horses are doing some really cool stuff. There's a falcon that flies around the arena. There's a falconer. Anyway, it's expensive because what's not? But if you have a kid of a certain age and if you are a fan of any sort of sport, you will enjoy yourself because you'll be assigned a team and then you'll be surprised at how immediately you are devoted to that team, especially when the Green Knight is kind of a showboat.
Oh, that a-hole is going down tonight.
Oh yeah. And he was in the other conference from the other realm or whatever. So you were supposed to root against him anyway, but then he really turned out to be kind of a turd.
One of those guys, like if he's on your team, you like him. But he absolutely. Is a
oh yeah. Absolutely.
Everybody else. Yeah.
He's the Cunningham of the night, of the night realm.
How that man still plays as many minutes as he does.
He's the sixth year senior. He's still there. He should be working on his doctorate.
Working his dad's insurance agency.
That's what I learned. That's what I learned is my 7 year old will probably for her entire life pledge allegiance to the white and black knight, but she's still learning the difference between football and basketball and baseball.
But she had herself uses
the terms interchangeably. Yeah.
I think we've done a pretty good job in our house to get a 3 year old up to speed on all that. So like, what are you watching basketball? It's like, you're dang right. I'm watching basketball, man. Good job.
Oh, that's great.
Cause we do roll.
She would say like, there's dad watching football again. Like,
It hasn't been football season.
Basketball.
6 weeks. Basketball is playing on green grass.
You watching baseball tonight? No. Yeah. You're killing me, kid.
No, it's anyways. Yeah, I just would just go back and just sing the praises of modern medicine. I say modern. I mean, we've had penicillin and antibiotics around for quite a while, but the greatness that is antibiotics get us all back on the mend. I say all of us, the kids, the two boys, the strep throat. So
I'm glad you're becoming yourself again.
Yeah. Excuse me. I got two girl birthdays to celebrate this week. And my wife's tomorrow, Wednesday. And then the baby girl turns one on Friday.
Oh my gosh. That's kind of a big deal.
It's been a year. So
do you think she's going to go for the smash cake thing or is she just going to be like,
we will see
what to do with this.
We're going to put a cake in front of her on Saturday.
That was a dumb question. Cause there's no way, you know, what's going to happen until you actually try it.
Well, I know, but she's,
I don't know why I thought you'd be able to predict that.
She is a fairly dainty eater. Like she's like very particular. Yeah. She'll pick at things. Whereas like Hayden was like, He was always just, there was no finesse in any of his game. So he, like, his smash keg stuff was a lot of fun because he just double fisted. Yeah,
he went for it.
Wearing most of it. Shimi, like, picks sprinkles off one at a time. And, like, oh, I think that's what my icing on my finger. What? That fix this. So we'll see. But we got that coming up on Saturday. My mom's coming into town. So that'll be fun. Assuming we don't get her sick. That would be not fun.
No, she's fine. She's going to be okay.
It's going to be great.
Everyone's on the mend. We're manifesting this right now.
Yeah.
So your daughter will not be sick for her 1-year-old birthday party.
No, I made the joke with a pediatrician because it happened a couple months ago, or not even that long ago, when they all had ear infections that they like got sequentially. He's like, how do you pass around an ear infection? That's not even a thing. Apparently it wasn't our household. Cause like we were in that, like over a 2-week span, all three of my kids went into the pediatrician one at a time for an ear infection. And I made the joke like, we'll be back. And I made it again today because we were there for Thursday with Grayson. Today's Tuesday. We're there for Hayden. I was like, we'll be back in a couple of days when the baby's turned. I was like, we'll be back in a couple of days anyways because we had her 1-year checkup. We'll just batch those together.
That's true.
Or when she spikes a fever, I could tell, hey, just go ahead and write a prescription for amoxicillin and we'll be good to go.
Let's just knock this out now.
You've seen us. 2-for-1. You've seen us. We've been here twice.
We have a frequent flyer miles card.
Well, and here's a great thing about this doctor. It was the one that he recognized the 23 personnel logo on like a jacket I was wearing. He's like, where do I know that from? I was like, you listen to the podcast? Like, oh, it's a podcast. You're on Steak in the Plains. I was like, yeah, man. So he's a reader. He's a listener. Every time I'm in there, we talk something tech sports, which is fantastic. Today he's like, you think Warren Washington is going to play today? I was like, I don't know, man. That's a great question. I didn't even know he was hurt, and when he missed the game on Saturday, like I've been out of it. But no, he didn't end up playing.
You're already in baseball mode.
I was. I was like, I'm looking forward to first pitch. I came first today, anyways. First pitch was at 6. Tip off wasn't until 8. So. And we got a baseball game tomorrow at noon. So,
yeah, I do. I know that I'm a baseball novice, but there is something nice about putting on a baseball game at work. Yeah, and I look forward to that every year. Oh man, there's a like tomorrow that like you said noon or I think next Friday is at 2 or something like that. Man, that's great. I'm just gonna
this Friday
turn that on at the office.
Yeah, and if you're in a position where you have tickets and like, oh man, the Friday game first pitch is at 2:00. Man, I just have to check it after lunch, I guess.
Yeah, got to go get early. One of those frosty cold Friday beers and watch some baseball.
Go get a
tough day.
Frito pie, pulled pork, nacho thing at the stadium. Pulled pork, Frito pie, nachos, whatever it is that they call it. It's fantastic eats. Anyways, that'll do it for us in 23 Personal Podcast. Texas Tech takes down TCU 83, 82, 82, 81, something like that. 1-point victory gets you 8-5 in Big 12 play. Got the baseball opening weekend series out of the way. Game against Oregon State coming tomorrow. For Michael, I'm Spencer. We'll catch you guys next time.
Thank you for listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast. Help us out by subscribing, rating the show, and leaving a review. Follow us on Twitter at 23 Personnel, Spencer at Puntsuck, and Michael at Michael_LBK. Be sure to catch the next episode. And until then, guns up and let the tortillas fly.
One, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers, but you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.